monsters, Digimon are the champions. Digimon, real monsters, Digimon are the champions.
Change into digital champions to save the digital world.
Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions.
Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 147. We're coming to you on this eve of the most curious release of all time, Pokemon X and Y. And we figured we would take this opportunity to talk about the Pocket Monster Evolutions of the late 90s. To my recollection, and I'm sure there were others, the three big ones, and I use big in quotations, were Digimon, Pokemon, and Monster Rancher. I mean, Tamagotchi was there as well, but Tamagotchi was more of a, you know, an overarching brand. There wasn't really much tie-in products to that. But before we get to that and all of exciting monster talk, we're going to introduce our panel of Poke Hunters. We have Trent.
Gotta catch them all.
We have Justin.
Digital monsters.
And we have Dan.
I don't have a catchphrase.
I was going to say, do you know the monster on the catchphrase?
That should be your catchphrase moving forward.
I don't think anybody knows the Monster Rancher catchphrase. I was always disappointed that Monster Rancher never took off more than it did. Because
I was disappointed that Metabots didn't take off more than it did.
I thought Metabots was huge.
Oh my god, dude, I love Metabots.
The concept of Metabots seems so much cooler than me than Pocket Monsters, but I did love Pocket Monsters.
Yeah, I would just like to point out that Trent was the one who wanted us to stay on topic for this show. And
Well, you're the curator.
Anyhow, yes, I mean, just real quick, Monster Ranches, like I said, the concept of it was pretty cool, if I remember correctly, is that it originally came out on the PlayStation, and it was a game that you got various monsters from by using different discs in your system. So CDs, games at the time, various different discs would give you different monsters. And I always thought that notion was kind of cool, that it was randomly generated depending on what you put into your console. And it's a novel idea. And, it, you know, at the time it could only work on the PlayStation. I guess the Saturn wasn't that hot and the N64 had cards. But the franchise itself never really took off. The cartoon was short-lived as well, I think lasting maybe 2 seasons, if that. And as you can tell from my introductions, nobody really remembers the theme song or the catchphrase. Which I would try to disprove, but I actually don't even know if it had a catchphrase.
I was just trying to look it up, and I can't find anything on it, so.
But yes, that's Monster Rancher. Which, after the other big two, we're going to go back to the oldest, which is Pokemon, which for us debuted in 1997?
Yep.
But in Japan it was 1995, right?
No, 96.
And Pokemon's interesting because it hit just around the time where I was kind of growing out of cartoons. And when it first came over here, as far as my memory goes, it debuted, I think it was like 7 in the morning for us.
I don't remember the time slot.
I remember it because, I mean, when you're a kid, there were two sets of cartoons. There were the ones you watched before school, and there was the ones you tried to rush home to watch after school.
True.
Pokemon, Sailor Moon, Rowan Warriors, Voltron, all like, anime was kind of a new thing for us, so those are the shows you put on at like 5:36 in the morning. And then you'd go in, and later on you get like Prepper Ann, you'll get Recess at like 7 and 8. As people were getting ready to go out the door and stuff like that. But I digress. And much like Power Rangers, Pokemon is still on to this day. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Pokemon in Japan just celebrated its 800th episode?
Yep, they're about to air 804 next week. Or tomorrow, actually. Jeez. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, we're usually like a season or two behind. I really don't know how that works.
Recently, we just aired number 794, and they're airing 804, so we're about 10 episodes behind.
Oh, okay, that's not so bad. I honestly stopped keeping up with it really around the time when they replaced like Brock and Misty the first time.
Yeah.
But then there was the other thing. I think later on in the show, I don't even know what season, they got rid of all the original voice actors.
Oh, yeah, I think that was like right before fourth gen, which was 2007. Don't quote me on that. I stopped watching at that point, so.
But yeah, I mean, any memories and thoughts of the Pokemon anime? I mean, was that your first introduction, or did you get introduced to the video games?
I think I got introduced by the school bus.
The school
bus? there was one turning point, one day that I got on the school bus, and everyone was playing with Game Boys, and I did not have a Game Boy. And everyone was talking about Pokemon Blue and Pokemon Red, and I had no idea what they were. And I went home and I saw on, we have YTV up here in Canada. I don't know which channel the Pokemon anime aired in the States, but they were airing the original like first 10 episodes back to back to back. And I just watched the first 10 because I wanted to see what it was all about. And immediately after, I started begging my parents for a Game Boy and Pokemon. And that Christmas, I got a Game Boy Color, the purple see-through one, and Pokemon Red. And then it was a quest to see how fast I could get 150 to catch up with everyone else on the bus. So my introduction was purely out of social constraints. I had to not be the dumb kid in class that didn't know what Pokemon was.
So their marketing campaign worked wonders on you, basically.
Oh, it worked fantastically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a genius franchise in that regard. I mean, we kind of, it softened for us because we got two versions of the game initially. I think when it came out in Japan, it was three. It's Red, Blue, and Green.
Actually, they didn't get Blue.
Okay.
They only had Red and Green.
I wonder why
and
we
then
have...
Blue came afterwards.
Okay. So, yeah. And then we got Red and Blue. And the whole notion of it is, you know, part of it is got to catch them all, which is where the main character's Ash Ketchum name comes from. But also is that you can't catch them on your own, really, because you need someone to trade with.
Wait, hold up. That's what his name means?
What? Well, no, his Ash name is a play on catch them all, catch them.
It is not ketchup, contrary
was
to possible.
Ruined, was Pokemon just ruined for you?
Oh, my God.
I know, it's genius writing, isn't it?
I just got that.
You really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, continue.
Did you not realize that Brock, his name is Brock because it sounds like rock, and Misty is Misty
that.
Because mist is water-based?
Oh, we
Shut
could
up.
Go on for days and days and days about the name.
Oh, yeah, these people, they were wicked original with their puns.
Anyway.
It gets much better as they go on and just have to throw crap to the wall for Pokemon designs. But, yeah, I mean, they were too, I mean, to be fair to them, you are naming over 150 characters. So I will forgive them for kind of trying to have things named for what they are as close as possible.
I will not forgive them for Mr. Mime.
Well, I mean, there is also just Seal, who evolves into Dewgong.
Yeah, that's so funny, though. Seal. Like, you know, one night, really late at night, in the Game Freak office, someone was just really tired, possibly drunk, and was like, fuck it, I'm going to name this one Seal, because it's a seal. I'm only going to change one letter, and no one's going to give me crap.
Well, I mean, what, there's Ekans.
Yeah, I mean, there's Horsey, which is the same thing as Ekans, basically.
Cobra.
One of my favorite...
Oh, you know what's my favorite thing about Pokemon naming conventions? So when they were in development, coughing and wheezing were actually known as NY and LA for New York and Los Angeles because of the different types of smog that those cities have.
Right.
Earl.
Hey. I'm still alive, so it's all good. Actually, one of my favorite, and it's the same thing as Ekans, is from a later generation, which is Rotom, which is just motor backwards. And he basically changes into various shapes depending on where you put him. Really?
Yeah, like into appliances and stuff.
Yeah. So really, I mean, I guess at this point, I think with the addition of X and Y, there's over 700 Pokemon. So yeah, there's a lot of naming schemes and conventions. So at some point, you know, they probably just said, whatever, we'll just name it whatever. I mean, as the series goes on, we get, what, ice cream cones, we get, in the new one, we'll get Zords, Decadal Zords.
Yep. And more that people are already mad about, because apparently Seal is super creative, but having a keychain Pokemon is just unbearable.
I think we've had this discussion before.
Well, this is a long line of really lazy Pokemon, though. Like, before the keychain, there was the swords, and before the swords, there was the ice cream cone.
Well, you see, and
garbage bag.
Yeah, but this is
what?
The thing.
Called Trubbish.
Yeah, there's a garbage bag Pokemon, which I think a lot of people hate. There are some.
Remember Sudowoodo? Sudowoodo was a fucking tree. It was a fucking tree that wasn't made out of wood. That was the joke.
Yep. Or even further back than that, we've got Oddish, who is literally just a weed.
Yeah.
But again, I forgive them. There are 700 creatures. Sometimes you want to be creative, and sometimes it's just whatever we need to. And, you know, this is kind of, like, I've seen people who are upset. I won't ruin the number, but there are less new Pokemon introduced this generation than any before, and people are upset with that. And I'm like, you know, I'm actually disappointed they kept on introducing so many, because at some point the design's just kind of like, whatever, we'll throw something, because we need to have at least 100 new Pokemon to get people to buy the game again. This one just seems to be like, okay, we're going to go back, we're going to retrofit some of the older Pokemon's new types of evolutions and stuff like that, which is a great idea to kind of keep it fresh. And because, I mean, honestly, do any of you know all the Pokemon?
I do. I'm a pretty hardcore Pokefan.
That is scary.
I know the first 151 off by heart. See, I was super hardcore into it up until the GBA ones. I wasn't really into Ruby or Sapphire, and I tried to get into Pearl and Diamond, and I couldn't get into it. I really liked Black and White. I really liked Black and White, and I liked Black and White too. So I'm kind of excited for X and Y, but there's this massive gap of knowledge that I don't have, that I have no interest in learning.
And I was about to say, that's always kind of been the charm with Pokemon, is that you've always, part of the reason you pick up these games is to kind of meet all these new Pokemon, to figure out what they are, to figure out their strengths and weaknesses. I mean, that was what they kind of did. They tried to do it with Black and White, where at Black and White, the first time through, you didn't get any old Pokemon, because they wanted people to kind of come at it for the first time, and everybody kind of has a starting point. And that's one of the reasons they're doing this with X and Y, having a girl boy launch it. This way, nobody spoils the game. Granted, that hasn't worked out perfectly.
Yep.
But the notion is that most people around the world will be able to pick it up at the same time, so that nobody can really have stuff spoiled for them that they don't want to spoil.
Internet's a dangerous power.
I mean, it is. I mean, the internet is also kind of what has kept this franchise, I think, more than Nintendo or even the Pokemon Company at times. I mean, Pokemon has a huge following no matter where you go. The Pokemon trading card game, which Nintendo doesn't really support that much, it's huge online. It's huge in tournaments as well.
Yeah, I should point out that I also used to be a very hardcore TCG player and still follow that, but it's a different story.
Oh no, it's the same story. How did you get into that? Well, how did you get into the Pokemon franchise?
So I was born in 1993, and so Pokemon Red and Blue came out in 1997. So that makes me pretty young for when it came out, but I got them pretty close to their release-ish. I could read at a pretty early age, not exceptionally well. I remember reading Pidgey's name as Pidgey, because that's how it's spelled phonetically. So, I mean, I could make out most of it, but I was a little kid, and I saw all the commercials, and I really wanted one, and so my dad was like, do you really want this? And he got me Pokemon Blue version and a Game Boy to go with it. And then that kind of jump-started my adventure, I guess. And here I am now. I actually attribute a lot of my future and where I currently am as an independent game designer to Pokemon because of that.
Good for you. Begging your parents for games, that's the way to go, isn't it?
At 4 years old, I think.
About
please,
that.
Please, I'll do anything for it.
Before I would get a single friggin' game, but it would be worth it. I would make it worth it.
I thought to say, you always have to make sure you made the right decision, because there are a couple of franchises that I don't love, because I got games twice a year when I was younger, my birthday and Christmas, and if you made the wrong decision for either one of those, you're stuck for about 6 months.
That's true. Now, in terms of Pokemon, though, I love the core games, and even the core games that I wasn't super into, I can probably acknowledge for their merits, but I really dug some of the spinoff games. Like, I love the trading card game. I had no idea how to play it, did not understand the counter system. It wasn't flowing with me. I love Pokemon Puzzle League. I love Pokemon Snap. I somehow tolerated Hey You Pikachu. I was eating it up for years and years, and then I think what stopped was I was no longer in the age demographic, what I perceived to be the age demographic, and I had moved on to more mature, more mature RPG fare kind of deal. I still really respect Pokemon, but it is kind of tailored to a younger audience, totally recognize that there are 40-year-olds out there that play the game.
But Pokemon is funny in that regard, because it is tailored towards a younger audience. I don't really think you're going to find anybody who disagrees with that. But it has, like, this weird curve, because there is, like, an age where people either won't get into it or don't understand it. And then you kind of gradually get back into it, because one of my fondest, Pokemon memory was around Gold and Silver, when we would be in high school, and we'd have people around the lunchroom table trading Pokemon with each other, because you needed the link cable back then. There was no internet and wire and
right.
fun stuff.
So you'd have physical
people,
wires.
Yeah, you'd have people at the lunch table, like, trading Pokemon and exchanging stats and all this other stuff. And these are people who are 16, 17 at this point. But there is, with the cartoon, I would have been around 12 when it came out or so, and, like, I watched it, but I didn't really get into it, and I've never really got into the anime. I've watched it, but I've never really got into it, and it was partially because it was at that time when, you just didn't do that anymore. That was for little kids. I mean, my period with that was really short. It's pretty much the late 90s, I think, and we'll get to Digimon in a second, because that was another show that I watched, but much later on. I haven't beaten any Pokemon game since the original generation. I just you can finish the game, you beat the Elite Four, you get become a Pokemon master.
No, I didn't know that there was an end to this game, so I never got far enough.
No, there's an end to every Pokemon game. I mean, there's an end in the fact that you can beat it, but it goes on and on and on.
Right.
Except in Red and Blue. Like, those are the only games that actually don't have a
post-game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That was the biggest surprise when playing Gold and Silver for the first time. Like, beating the game and then realizing that you can go back to the Kanto League and see how things have changed since you beat Red and Blue blew my friggin' mind.
Yeah, and then they did something similar with Black and White 2, where you went back to the region from Pokemon Black and White, and this time has passed. So that was kind of neat. But yeah, Gold and Silver, that was the original twist for me. It's like, oh yeah, you beat the game. Here's the whole original game for you to try again. So that's always been neat. But yeah, you can beat the Pokemon game. I think if there wasn't an end game, I don't think this franchise would have been as popular. I mean, the concept of catching them all is kind of cool. But it's a very difficult concept because it takes hundreds of hours.
Especially if you don't have friends who play it, or if you don't have two consoles yourself, it's basically impossible at that point.
It is impossible. Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, there's no generation where you can get every Pokemon on a single cartridge.
Right.
That, that. I'm kind of hoping that when they do this whole, you know how they're doing the Pokebank thing?
Yeah.
I don't know all the logistics around it, but I'm really hopeful that they're going to make some Pokemon that are really hard to get on the latest versions a little bit more accessible via this utility.
Yeah, I mean, because it's always been, if I'm not mistaken, like, it was really hard to get Ruby and Sapphire Pokemon on the DS. And then I think with the original, Ruby and Sapphire, it was hard to get Red and Blue Pokemon. There's always been, generations that's been out of touch just due to this technology of having different handhelds and stuff like that.
I always thought, if I had, let's say I was one of those people that went to an event and I got a Mew, and I had my Mew on my Pokemon Red cartridge. Now, I know that I could put that on Pokemon Gold and probably put that on Pokemon Sapphire. But if I managed to get that up somehow onto Pokemon X and Y, would there be a 3D rendered Mew?
Yeah.
It would work that way. But you can't transfer between gens 2 and 3. So that's the only current gap that does exist in the series.
So there's no Mew.
You can still get Mews in other ways, and that was another problem they ran into with Ruby and Sapphire, which was basically the main reason why Fire Red and Leaf Green came out. Ruby and Sapphire had all the Pokemon up to that, which was 386, and then they released Pokemon Colosseum, which got you most of the red and blue Pokemon, just not all of them. And then they released Fire Red, Leaf Green so that you could get all 386 Pokemon at that point. And then they had to do some events to get you Mew, Celebi, and like all the special event Pokemon from the previous two games.
Speaking of Pokemon Colosseum, can we dwell on the fact that it's kind of a name that there's never been a legit solo 3D console Pokemon RPG adventure?
And I know I'm usually the minority with this. I've always been happy that they haven't done that. Pokemon, to me, has always been better catered towards a handheld. I feel like a lot of the devices that they use don't translate well to the console. And if you change it too much, it's not Pokemon at that point.
Yeah.
I get the appeal for it. I get the appeal people have with it. But
And believe me, I stand by Pokemon being on handhelds. I've always played it on handhelds. I prefer to play RPGs on handhelds, actually, because I'm usually all over the place. But the thing is, like, games like, the Pokemon XD for the GameCube and the Pokemon that was before that on the GameCube?
Yeah, that was Colosseum and X2.
Yeah. Those two games, they put in a mode where it was basically like that. You were a trainer, you were traveling through the leagues, there's a team of evildoers, and there's a shadowy plot and whatnot, and it's RPG-ish. And here's the thing, I've always been of the mindset that if you're going to do something, do it well. I don't like people half-assing things. And I realize that Game Freak didn't develop those games themselves, but I just feel like, don't whet our appetites with something that is almost a full RPG. Like, do the full RPG. I would like to see what Pokemon looks.
See, that I agree with you on, because, I've heard, is it Gale of Darkness, the one where you have to, you don't actually get wild Pokemon, you steal them from other trainers while you're doing it?
That's both of them, but the second one, XD, actually does introduce a very small amount of wild Pokemon.
Okay, so yeah, it's like, don't half-ass it. Like, if you're going to give, that's why I didn't mind the Colosseum, the Stadium games. The Stadium games are just 3D battles. Those are fine. But once they started trying to introduce this RPG,
Stadium. I was such a big fan of the first Pokemon Stadium, and for some reason, I really hated the second one. I don't even know what it was. I just had it out for it.
Do you guys remember
those things that you would plug into the bottom of your N64 controller?
Yeah, the transfer packs.
That was so shitty in comparison to the Super Game Boy. Why do we put up that crap? If you're going to make a peripheral, why only let it play like 5 fucking Pokemon games? Why not make it play every Game Boy game?
Well,
too much ask of the N64? I think not.
I think some of it's just, and it's the same thing people have issues with in regards to Nintendo and their emulator scenes on the Wii U and 3DS. It's like they want to make sure every game works properly, so they take their time, so they probably didn't think it was worth investing in.
I resent that statement, because the loyalty program, the early adopter program, allowed people to download the Minish Cap, so I know that the Minish Cap works on 3DS. But it's still not there, and
I have
not
the
a
Minish
loyalty
Cap,
program.
It works for me. So
I sympathize with that point. I haven't launched 3DS. And as much as I like the games that I have, it's like they said explicitly afterwards, hey, we're not sure if we're going to be able to get Game Boy Advance games on this. We already have 10, so deal with it.
Yeah, it was weird. The tangent, let's move on. I guess we've talked about the show. Did any of you watch the movies? I believe they're up to the 17th one of that as well.
I watched the first. I watched two of them.
I watched two or three of them. I was really big into the first one, even though it was full of bullshit. Going back in time, it was this whole thing where, Mew is this, super mysterious character/Pokemon, and you're super into the concept of humanity trying to fabricate their own Pokemon. I think that's a rad idea from a narrative point of view to begin with. But the idea of Mew making his own versions of other Pokemon and making them evil seems badass. And everything seems badass until suddenly Ash is down on the floor and the Pokemon are crying. Like, like, I was with the movie up until the point that the tears healed him, and I was like, fuck this shit. No.
I think that's the freaking point for a lot of people. I think it's even a TV trope for magical tears and stuff like that. It's not the first movie to do it, but it's one of the most extreme examples. But the first Pokemon movie, actually, I think the first four were recent theaters. I don't know anything on that.
But yeah, they stopped after
that
four.
I mean, when we're looking at the Pokemon anime, I think a lot of people have a soft spot for the Pokemon anime, but breaking the rules of the Pokemon universe was kind of like the thing to do for the Pokemon anime. There is pretty much an episode dedicated to every single Pokemon, and almost all of them got the origin stories and how those Pokemon evolved wrong.
Oh my gosh, the worst thing was Pikachu. I remember one of the first gym battles was the Rock gym battle where he takes on Brock, and it's like he breaks a sprint in the gym. I'm like, you can't do that in the game. You can't use the environment for battles. Like, stop this crap. I can't do it. You should be able to do it.
Yeah, my bigger problem was like Ash. Okay, here's the thing. I always went to the Safari Zone. And I always wanted to get one of those, what were they, those buffalo?
Tauros.
Tauros. I wanted a Tauros, right? Ash goes in there, the asshole gets like 50 of them, keeps them on a farm outside of Dr. Oak's. A farm! Friggin' he goes to the Pokemon League and he calls up Dr. Oak and he gets his Kingler out. And Dr. Oak's like, you want to take one of these Tauroses? There's 50 of them, they're in my backyard. I'm playing my friggin' Game Boy, I can't get a single one. False advertising. I thought that was bull.
I think I caught multiple Tauros because of that episode as well. And there's no reason to keep more than one of them, but yeah. There was also, I think, two or three episodes that never made it over here officially.
Really? I was actually just reading about those earlier today. There's a few that have been banned worldwide and a few that were banned only here.
I know one has been James Cross-Dresses.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was the episode.
I totally remember that airing here.
It never aired here. It's been on YouTube, but I don't think it ever aired here.
No, it totally aired in Canada. Totally. 100%. I've seen it.
Okay.
I remember thinking, why does James have boobs?
There was the infamous episode which caused kids in Japan to get seizures.
Yeah, that's banned just period. Oh.
I did not hear about that.
I
think Guinness World Records gave Pokemon the anime the most seizure-ific cartoon ever. They had an award for the amount of problems it would cause epileptics.
Wait, hold up. So what was this episode?
You want to find out about it?
A little bit, yeah.
The seizure episode?
Yeah.
It was from the first series, and it was Computer Warrior Porygon. And basically, you go into a computer program with Porygon, and then Porygon starts fighting these enemies, and he has a lot of, like, laser attacks and energy attacks and stuff like that. And so there's tons of flashing red and white lights.
An episode of Porygon.
I think some of them might have been re-edited and shown over here. But yeah, there's a wiki page dedicated to the Pokemon episodes that were banned or removed from rotation. So yeah, there were a couple of them. And you know, especially when you're a kid, those stories spread. Did you hear about that episode in Japan? Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's tons of rumors in the Pokemon world too.
And some of them, they turned, I mean, what is it? Missing Numbers.
Yeah, Missing No, that's an actual thing.
Yeah, that was a glitch in the first game and they decided to make it an actual Pokemon. I remember growing up, there's a ton of rumors on how you got Mew. I think there was one where you had to get a ticket for a certain ferry, like a boat, and you went to this special island, and then you had to do a bunch of random nonsense and stuff like that. And the thing is, my favorite one, and I'm sure this is one. This one still works with me. Is you hold down B when you throw a Pokeball to make sure you catch the Pokemon?
Yeah, there was tons of techniques for that, too.
And I know it's not true. I still do it.
I thought you were supposed to like press it like a billion times.
No, you're supposed to hold it down, and it makes it easier for you to catch the Pokemon. I mean, that's the rumor. I mean, it's not true, but I can't break the habit. Even on like new systems, I still hold down B whenever I catch a Pokemon. But whenever I want to try to catch a Pokemon. because there's nothing more frustrating than when it does the doodle dance like 3 or 4 times, and then the Pokemon pops out. Do it the first time, I'm okay with it, but once you kind of tease me, like, you're going to do it, you're going to do it, you're going to... No. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, and this is something that, and you know, I guess we'll touch on X and Y briefly. When it, X and Y are making a lot of concessions, I think, out of streamlining the process, and you know, Pokemon is a simple RPG, but it does have some grindy elements. I do love the fact that you now get XP for catching Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which is a huge... Because that used to piss me off, because it's usually a chance between do I get more XP or do I actually KO this Pokemon or catch it. And you also get, I think XP is now shared equally among your Pokemon instead of being divided.
You get an item, the EXP share, which has been in all games. You can now activate it, but it activates for the whole team rather than just the one.
Okay. Yeah. Were you not aware of this?
No, EXP in the previous generations, you worked with the Pokemon who had it attached to them.
Yeah, it was a hold item before. Now it's just an item you activate. You either say it's on or off, and then it gives you EXP to all 6 or just 1 if it's on or off.
Don't you have, like, a group of companions with you, too, in the game? Or do you have, start out with them?
You mean Pokemon, or you mean, like, actual people?
Like trainers. As far as, like, when you're picking your starting Pokemon. I may have heard that wrong.
No, you have... Oh, this game, yeah, you have 2 friends who are with you. One of them, I guess both of them becomes your rival? I don't know. It's kind of like the cartoon series where you had Misty and Brock, or I guess a better example would have been later on when he had May and her little brother.
And Max.
Yeah, because like May, I think, was a Pokemon... She wasn't a Pokemon trainer. She was like a Pokemon groomer or something like that.
She was a coordinator. That was contests.
There we go. So yeah, they weren't in competition with each other, because it really doesn't make sense to have friends if you're all in competition, because you would eventually have to battle. And remember, Gary Oaks is a dick.
Yeah. But he's the
Gary,
best too.
Gary, I still remember those cheerleaders that he had with him.
Does he still what is Gary doing these days? He still has his rival?
He's not.
So yeah, since we're on a time crunch, let's move on to Digimon, which was the other big one. Now, Digimon, I feel, is kind of the opposite of Pokemon. I was really engrossed by Pokemon games, so in the anime. Digimon, I'm much more familiar with the anime than any of the games.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, too.
Yeah, I actually really... I really dislike the games, to be honest. Like, I played the crap out of Digimon World and Digimon World 2, and I always ended up really, really disliking them. I don't think that they had many merits unless you're a fan, but the anime still is fun to watch, personally.
Yeah. Okay, what are the games like, exactly? Because I've never played any. I've always been curious.
The first one is kind of like... it's kind of like a Tamagotchi, but a lot more expansive, and there's a lot more to do. The second one is more like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, you're in like this little caravan, and you could fight like, and you were in this little cave or whatever, and you could fight random Digimon and take some of them. It was a dungeon crawler meets Pokemon.
Well, I mean, the Pokemon has a dungeon crawler. So how did the evolutions work then?
In the game?
Yeah, because like in the shows, they could evolve and devolve randomly.
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure they were permanent.
I think the way the evolutions worked is it was kind of like in the show where they just absorbed data from the enemies that they defeated, and then afterwards they would just sort of like power down.
Okay, so they did have to. So it was kind of like a one-off thing that you had to work back up to every battle.
Yeah, it was basically just like when the Power Rangers did their thing.
Okay. Makes sense. But, like we said, the anime is probably more familiar to a lot of people. And part of the reason, especially in comparison to Pokemon, is that it told an actual arc-wide story across several seasons. Mm-hmm.
Series, too.
Yeah. And as we kind of mentioned at the start when we were doing our pre-talk, is that it's even continuing with the most recent series, Digimon Fusion, bringing back elements from the original Digimon series almost 14 years later, I guess?
Somewhere around there.
I think all the series connect in some way, because I think Fusions 3 and 4 have a character, or I think it's a character from season 3 is mentioned in season 4 at some point. I could be wrong on that.
I know season 3 mentioned that seasons 1 and 2 were like video games or comic books in their universe.
Right.
And I kind of stopped. Is season 3 the one when humans started turning into Digimon, or is that 4?
That's season 4. The latter half of season 3 is when they started doing that, when they did Biomerge Digivolutions, but it really started happening in season 4 with Spirit Evolutions.
Yeah, and that's when the show lost me, which is saying a lot. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's a great idea of kids banded together to save the world. With the digital creatures, and the concept of like the digital world and the real world kind of being out of sync, where a couple of minutes here are years in the digital world, and days in the digital world are just seconds here. Really paid off well in the second half of the series, where they were gone in the human world for like a week, so hundreds of years passed in the digital world. But yeah, the thing it did so well was just building up threats for these kids. I mean, we had the Myotismon.
Yeah, I distinctly remember him.
Then there was the, I don't know, there was a, I forget the name that they had, but there was like a Piedmon.
Oh yeah, there's the dude that had the black gears, Devilmon, and then there's the dude who had the black cables, who looked like he was in a monkey suit, and then
Ectomon.
Yeah, there was Piedmon, who was the clown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he attacked Tokyo, and that was like the best part of the series. Well, the first the first series, I should say.
I have to see him attack Tokyo.
I just dug it. I don't know. I really dug the first series a lot. I really, really liked the second one, even though Yomi was stupid.
I like the idea of like the Digimon Emperor, and then that once that kind of went away, there wasn't much of a threat anymore.
Yeah, but he was part of the team.
Yeah, but I like the idea of like a human going into the digital world and kind of being corrupted by it and corrupting it around him, because the first season was all about how much good they brought to the digital world. Yeah. Like, it makes sense that somebody might go in there and do the opposite. And, like, once he, like, and Wormmon was cool, and then you got the DNA Digivolve. I think that was interesting.
I love DNA Digivolves. I thought they were the coolest thing.
The thing I didn't like about season 2, and this is kind of a minor, is, like, they brought back the season 1 characters, but most of them were background players, and were kind of, I hate using this term,
except for TK and Kairi. They were part of the team, right?
Yeah, because they were the youngest two of the original.
series. I also really I like the third series, but it took me a while to get into it. I wasn't like the. Not only was it using cards, which I thought was weird, but it was the structuring was different. It wasn't like seven kids in the digital world. It was like three kids in the real world with digital monsters. You know what I mean? So it was a different. There was a different feel to the third series, but I still dug it eventually.
Well, I think one of the problems too is that it took a while before the plot really like happened. A lot of it was just random adventures at first, and there didn't seem to be anything connecting it.
Yeah, and I think it's and you know, kind of jumping around. I think it's like Power Rangers when they went to Lost Galaxies. Like you kind of had this series that were interconnected, and they're like, okay, you know what? Those first two seasons didn't count. Here's something we're keeping in the set. We're going to change the rules, and it's like, yeah, but I got to invest. I mean, because the first two series were over 100 episodes, I believe, which is a lot for a kid's show. And then it's like, oh yeah, that didn't count. We're just going to start over again. It's like I don't want that.
Yeah, it's true. It's kind of, I guess what Pokemon has going for it is that it's a continuous thing and they can just add to it pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the downside of that is, I think, I just feel like Pokemon keeps redoing itself, though.
Yeah, that's my problem.
They're not breaking any new ground. They keep shelling out the same sort of interactions with the same type of characters.
It's definitely true. I do agree with that. It's very homogenized
now. Like, the Pokemon themselves change, but Ash's attitude stays the same.
Yes, and he still can't win the big one. He should be the world's greatest Pokemon trainer by this point.
He always has the same type of companions. They're always roaming from town to town. I don't know. I feel like Ash and his crew have kind of stagnated. And I like the idea that the Digimon show continues to do new things. I just prefer the way it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of always been my thing, why I prefer the Digimon cartoon over the Pokemon, is that eventually they are allowed to evolve, pun intended, the series and the characters. They grow, they change, they evolve, they have problems. Ash has kind of been the same. Everybody around him changes. Misty goes off to do her own thing. Brock goes off to do his own thing. May, Tracy, I think that was the dude's name who replaced Brock, all kind of go off to do their own thing outside of Ash, but Ash is still doing the same thing. He's still with the same Pikachu. And at some point, I think the only time he's ever won was the Orange Islands. I could be mistaken, though.
He's gotten to the Pokemon League several times. He just hasn't won the big actual battle.
How does he keep losing them?
Exactly. Like, at some point, it just becomes sad.
I mean, he's only 10.
Well, the crux of the show is he wants to become the very best, like no one ever was. If he already achieved that, then there's no point to the show.
And I get, but you see, they could have done it the other way, where he's like, here's the thing that doesn't make sense. He doesn't win in one league, so he decides, I'm just going to try another one. And I'm not going to win here, so I'm going to try another one. Like, if he's come to the finals in one league, why not throw back and try it again? He already has the badges. He doesn't have to start over again.
I don't know. If the anime was smart, it would have followed a different protagonist for every generation of Pokemon.
Yeah, I feel like that would work a lot more.
Like I know that said that, like, those words would sound terrible to anyone who is a diehard fan of Ash and Misty and Brock and all them. But the long and the short is, they've been around a long time.
Yeah, but like, who still likes Ash at this point, though?
And that's kind of the thing. It's like Ash, I mean, like, again, everybody else around him is allowed to evolve and change and move on with their life. He isn't. And it does kind of become weird and sad at this point. And the thing is, and because of the constraint of the series, it is a promotional tool. He has to get rid of all his Pokemon at the end because he has to start over again because they need to introduce a new Pokemon in a new universe. And it's like, yeah, you have all these Pokemon, you have all these badges, but you're going to give up and try again and then continue to fail. Like, at some point, you stop cheering for him.
And that's what will work about a new protagonist each generation, like he said. That way, you don't have to have that cop-out.
Yeah. And it would make sense, because this always used to drive me nuts, is when he would take out his Pokédex for Pokémon he's seen before and has cataloged before, but you have to remind the little kids who this Pokémon is, and it's like, you've seen them before, you have them in your Pokédex.
Oh, do you remember, do they still do Who's That Pokémon?
Yeah.
No, I think they, do they?
It's a little bit different, but they still have the little in-between cut where they're like, they give a little trivia at some times, and then they do
Pokemon.
Yeah, they don't do it quite the same, but they still do a little cut for the commercial breaks.
Wow. I would have thought they've gotten rid of that.
Huh. I did not know that Ash is voiced by a female.
Are you seriously?
But I know they tend to do females for young boys because guys go through puberty and then their voice gets higher, I should say.
Well, the last time I heard it, he kind of sounded like he was constipated or something. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, or whenever Max and Butchernuts were still on the show.
Yeah, I don't know. But, and I guess kind of, they are, I don't know if any of you have seen it, they are doing what Pokemon Origins, which is a retone of the original Pokemon game, and this is kind of a standalone. I think we're getting it as 4 separate episodes.
Yeah, they have 4 episodes, and they're all about Red, who is the main character of Red and Blue.
Yeah, so basically what the original Pokemon would have been.
Yeah. It's a very mature retelling, too. There's a lot of pretty dark stuff that happens in it.
Yeah, I've already seen that one GIF on Tumblr way too often.
Where, was it, is it the,
It's Squirtle and Charmander.
Was it Charmander biting Squirtle? Is that right?
I think it's Squirtle biting him.
It's one of the Pokemon biting someone. I can't remember who it is, but I've seen it. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Very a lot of people enjoyed that, so,
yeah.
I mean.
A lot of people are just being like, did you not read the anime, or did you not read the manga? It's just like, God, you should have known that.
Yeah. That's a whole different discussion for another day, though. But, Yeah, I mean, just to kind of wrap it up, because Trent does need to go to bed. Pokemon X and Y are out this weekend. Tomorrow, as is this recording, midnight for some people. Are any of you picking it up? And if so, which version?
I'll be picking up both of them, X physically and Y digitally.
Nice. I wanted to get it digitally because I feel like Pokemon is one of those games that I just would always want access to.
Yeah, that was my rationale.
But I ended up going with Toys R Us, who has a buy one, get 40% off deal on Wii U and 3DS games. So I was able to do that and pre-order Batman at the same time to save a couple of bucks.
Nice.
From what I'm told, though, that doesn't mean I'll get it at launch, which kind of sucks. But we'll see. I mean, it's Comic-Con week. I will be gone most of the weekend, so I won't see people tweeting and tumbling about how their amazing Pokemon adventure is going.
Unfortunately.
Well, not unfortunately. That's a good thing, so yeah. I won't be upset.
There was a twinge of sarcasm in there.
What about you, Justin?
I am not grabbing either.
Ooh.
I mean, it's not a burn against them. I just don't feel like it's my thing anymore. I think I've just grown out of it.
You never grow out of Pokemon.
although it also, to be fair, I was always just more of a Digimon kid, like in general.
The Digimon doesn't make good games.
Well, whatever, dude. I don't play the freaking Digimon games anymore. They haven't made one since like 2004.
They still make Digimon games.
Wait, they do?
Yeah, they keep coming out with them.
Oh.
They actually just did a remake of the original Pokemon game or Digimon.
Okay, I'll play it this way. Okay, well, I'm not gonna get the new Digimon game then. I'm not gonna start with the new Pokemon game. Let's leave it at that. Just keep my consistency.
Oh, there's a 3DS one. Yeah, bigger.
Don't judge me.
You already are judging Digimon? You. Yeah, so it seems. Yeah. Digimon World Redigitized Decode. That is a lot of D's.
Oh, that sounds so...
Does that make you want to vomit?
Redigitize.
That's not a word. I'm 90% certain that's not a word in the English dictionary.
I'm pretty sure most of what they said in the Digimon anime wasn't real word. Digitized.
You shut up. I think digitized is a word.
What was the one that? What was the one that Izzy always said? Prodigious.
Prodigious. I think that's an actual word.
Prodigious, and there was another one he used to say. But anyhow,
was it Momentot? No, wait, that was Henry in season 3. Never mind. Sorry.
Trent, you picking up any?
I would have said a while back that I was in the same boat as Justin, where I don't feel like it's really my thing anymore. That said, immediately after seeing the first Nintendo Direct where X and Y were mentioned, I was kind of going crazy, because this is the evolution in the series that I was always excited for. Like, if we're going to level with each other, the series is kind of stuck to bread and butter since it was first released. I mean, there's been minor updates to the graphics and the gameplay and everything else, but this is the first real evolution we've seen in the way the whole thing is presented ever, really.
Yeah. So
I gave my 3DS away to my cousin because I wasn't playing it, to be blunt. But I think I'm going to have to ask for it back. I'm going to get the one with the stag.
It is X.
X.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, okay. Just because I think deer are wicked, but that's just me personally. I'm not going to get it launch day. It's not an immediate want, but I am going to play it and I am going to beat it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, two questions.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, did you know that Pokemon or that X and Y in the title refer to the chromosomes, like as far as boy and girl?
I figured as much.
I think it's that, and they also it's several things. I think they also said it refers to the three-dimensional axis.
Well, yeah, that too. And second thing, which one do you think had the better, or which show do you think had the better theme song?
Talking about original themes.
No. I'm talking about like across all the series that both had, and I'm talking about like overall as a general consensus, which one do you think had the better theme songs?
I prefer Digimon's theme songs to a couple of the Pokemon songs, but Pokemon have more, just because Pokemon tends to change it up more often, there are more memorable ones. I mean, we all know you got it. You know, you want to be the
best. You got to catch them all.
Yeah. I prefer the Orange Island one.
So which one?
The Orange Island one. So you want to be a faster Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Your skill to be number one.
I'm kind of curious as to what the next... Like, you know how there's... Okay, well, they didn't do this with Black and White, but before, there had always been, like, a middle game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there was Yellow for Red and Blue, and there was, like, a, what was it? Crystal for...
Crystal, yeah. Emerald.
I always thought, like, what would be the middle of X and Y?
I think everybody says Z, but it's the same way people used to joke about Black and White would get gray. So maybe they do an X and Y, too.
It's one of the two, for sure.
Right. Providing there's a decent story in this one, I'd be happy with the sequel. I mean, if we're being, if we're leveling with each other perfectly, Black and White were the first ones with, like, a heavy story to them, outside of, I want to be the very best.
I've been told that Pokemon have very deep stories.
Do they?
Like, because they some of them are, like, subtext for, like, global warming and...
Oh, yeah, screw you. They do not have deep story.
I'm not defending it. This is what I've heard from people because
those people are wrong.
I don't know if it's accurate to say subtext, but they handle pretty deep topics.
But let me tell you something, Earl. Skyrim has a deep story. You know how I know? There's over 8,000 booklets hidden over a massive world. You can read them all. You don't have to though. That's a deep story. Pokemon, there's like 20 NPCs per town, and most of them don't like me.
I always find it sketchy when those pikers give you a 10-year-old boy or girl their number to call them.
I always find it sketchy when I run into a schoolboy Johnny in every friggin' game. Leave me alone, you bastard. I'm in a new country now.
What are the odds that we're both here?
Stop telling me about your shorts.
Hope no one sees me.
They have the most. I wonder how that started because some of those people have the most random introductions and the most random.
I guarantee you, it's just straight up translations, and it's just Japanese people being weird.
Yeah,
that's not me being mean. Let's be frank.
I wouldn't say Japanese, but I would imagine that the first Pokemon game probably didn't have the budget of translation that the current ones have. Because I assume there's probably like an entire team that Nintendo dedicated to Pokemon and like, Animal Crossing.
Wouldn't they use Nintendo of America for that?
Well, yeah, the Treehouse. But I assume that, especially with this one, since it's the first global release, it was really probably a very specific group just dedicated to Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Because they had to be involved with the development of the game as well.
Okay. I remember hearing a few weeks ago, I think it was the creator of Pokemon said that him and the development team get a lot of letters in. I saw this on Tumblr, that people want them to do, like, X suggestion, and that he reads them aloud to the team, and then they all laugh at them.
That sounds funny, but if you have to then you feedback. Just read it.
He said that one of the suggestions was, like, you should bring back all of the Gen 1 Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, this is something... we really have to wrap, because Trent needs to go to bed.
Oh, right, sorry.
But this is something that I think they mentioned. It's something fans mentioned. There's always that generation when you say, like, oh, this is when Pokemon became stupid. When there's always been really dumb designs and decisions with the franchise. It's just like it's anything you're familiar with. And like once you stop, it's like, okay, I stopped because it became dumb and they started designing these characters. When we talked, you know, we had a backward snake and a guy who had what was coughing? Just smoke? Poison gas, I guess?
Pretty much. He was just a ball of smoke.
Yeah, Mr. Mime, Chansey. I'm not going to start saying random names because I'm going to say one. I'm going to offend somebody by naming their favorite Pokemon randomly.
Snorlax. Oh,
that's a good question to go out on. What is your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, no.
Bulbasaur,
this question again.
Bulbasaur, just because that's the only one that I really know.
I'm going to go with Squirtle because he was my first.
Oh, that's so... Never mind. That's too easy.
I set it up that way.
Damn it, Earl.
We'll give it to Trent, since Dan probably...
Nidoking.
Nidoking?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I had Pokemon Red, and when I was playing it, I didn't have a strategy guide, I hadn't seen much of the show, I didn't know anything about Pokemon, and I got a Nidoran, because it's, like, you can catch them outside of Viridian City. not for, is it Viridian City? Anyway, yeah. It's neither here nor there. So you were playing with it, and I soon found that he was my most reliable fighter. And then I found that if you go through the first cave and you look diligently enough, you can find a moonstone, so you can have a level like a Pokemon that's been evolved twice and only level 20, and you can kick everything's ass with Thrash. I don't know. I love Nidoran. I love the way he's designed. I love how powerful he is. I used him in the final fights and everything. Love him. I may be the only person in the world who thinks that that's his favorite Pokemon, but I love Nidoran.
There are 600, 700 Pokemon. Everybody, there's enough, but there's everybody has their random ones. I mean, we all kind of follow Nick, and he has his thing for Bidoof. Such an odd Pokemon.
It's not even his favorite, too. It's just he has to keep up with the standard.
Which brings us to you, Dan.
My favorite... Because I can't think of one, I'm just going to list off Galvantula from Gen 5 is pretty good. So is Volcarona. I like Armaldo from Gen 3. I really like Bug Pokemon.
I was going to say, I didn't know any of those.
I used to say I hated Bug and Insect Pokemon because you had that middle stage where they didn't really do much. Kakuna? Kakuna, and what was the other one?
Metapod.
Yes, and it's like, they didn't do Metapod much. They
use
exactly.
Metapod, use Hardened. I only have to do this 17 more times before I can just struggle.
Yeah, and we all know what happens with, damn it, I'm really terrible today with name in the ones. Person who evolves into Gyarados.
Magikarp.
There we go.
I actually love Magikarp and Gyarados as well. But that was because of effort, you know? Like, you feel like when you've taken that level 5 Magikarp and trained it to a level 20 Gyarados, like, you've earned it, you know what I mean? He may only have Bite and Dragon range, but you've earned it.
Yeah, and I also like Gyarados. I think it was the first Pokemon I taught Swim to. Surf, I should say.
Gyarados? Really?
I didn't want to teach my starter Pokemon at HM.
Why?
Because I don't want him to have...
I always started with Bulbasaur, and I always taught him Cut, and I never regretted it. Fuck the Pokemon.
I always have testing it out and seen the Pokemon that can earn certain HMs and the ones that can't. And the ones that... Sometimes the ones that make perfect sense don't. Yeah, like, there are certain... Like, I think... No, Scissor can earn Cut, right?
Yeah.
Wow. There's a Pokemon who has there's a fighting Pokemon who looks like he should be able to earn Cut or something. He doesn't. He's not able to.
You guys are fucking nerds.
We should leave on this note. Golurk can learn Fly. There you go.
Yeah, it's just a Digimon fan.
Well, actually, if you have the right cheats, like Tyranitar can learn Fly.
Hey man,
that fucker doesn't even have wings.
But anyhow, Pokemon's out this week. Check it out. Check out the anime. Check out Pokemon Origins, which comes out in November for us. Check out the website. This week, Trent will have up another one of his horror films. I believe we are doing Kill a Condom this week for 151 Proof movie.
Wait, what?
The name of the movie is Kill a Condom.
All right. This sounds fun.
It's about
No, I can infer from the title. I think I know what to expect.
You never know.
Is it on Netflix?
I have to check. I haven't checked it. I just know we're going to do that one. And the next week is Toxic Avenger. I should have a review up of Curse of Chucky, which I saw this week. Check out, we did our top 7 best new video game franchises and IPs of this generation podcast. Check that out. A very interesting list, I think. Very disturbing, yes, I think, but whatever it is. Check out our comic book reviews and all that fun jazz. We also started a new mini podcast series called Blood on the Rocks, which is our horror comic book podcast. And this week we did Lock and Key. Next week we're doing American Vampire. And since this is the PokeCast, don't forget to vote in the poll where we're asking you your favorite Pokemon generation. Right now, surprising absolutely nobody, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow are winning. And I believe pretty much everything else is tied except for, I think, Ruby and Sapphire is in the last place. I think that is everybody's least favorite generation.
Bummer. That's my favorite, so.
It's always a weirdo. No, actually, Diamond and Pearl is actually in the last place. Huh. Go figure. Anyhow, for Dan, Justin, Trent, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 147.
So you wanna be a master of
Pokemon?
Understand the secrets and
Hasselbots.
So you wanna be a master of
Pokemon?
Do you have the skills to be
number one?
I wanna take the ultimate step, find the courage to be bold.
Pokemon.
To risk it all and not forget the lessons that I hold. I wanna go where no one's been, far beyond the crowd. Learn the way to take command.
Use the power that's in my hand.
Hey.
We all live in a Pokemon world. I wanna be
the greatest master of them all.
We all live in a Pokemon world.
I put myself to the test to be better than all the rest. With every challenge, I will gain knowledge to be shared. And in my heart, there's no doubt of who I want to be. I'm right here, standing strong.
The greatest master of Pokemon.
Oh, hey.
We all live in a Pokemon world.